Some words from our collect set for this Sunday, seventh Sunday of the Easter season, or the Sunday after Ascension Day. We beseech you, leave us not comfortless, but send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us. As I said in my words of introduction, we are in this 10-day period of expectation in which every year this one Sunday occurs. The first reading we heard read today describes both the Ascension itself, as we celebrated, or a small number of us did, last Thursday evening here, exactly 40 days after Easter. And then it tells us about what those followers of Jesus did following the Ascension, awaiting the coming of the promised Holy Spirit. If you look at the end of that, or the last few verses of that reading, we are told exactly who was there in that upper room waiting. There were 11 of the disciples. They'd obviously lost Judas Iscariot. Interestingly, there is Mary, Jesus' mother. There are his brothers as well. And if our lectionary had allowed us to read the next verse on the Acts of the Apostles, we would have been told that the group was about 120 strong, gathered in what must have been a fairly sizable upper room, or pretty cramped conditions, one or the other. But about 120, Luke tells us, 120 believers, including, may I say, many women. And what were they to do? Well, if you had been here on Thursday evening and heard the Gospel reading from the end of Luke, where there's a shorter version of the Ascension, you have Jesus telling them before ascending to be obedient, to stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Of course, you have it in a different form in our reading this morning, where the wording is, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, etc., etc. They were to be obedient, waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit, the power from on high. Note that they were very prayerful. They were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, Luke tells us. And the only other thing we know about what happened in that 10-day period is basically in the rest of Acts chapter 1, which we looked at on the Tuesday evening study a couple of weeks ago, when they decided they'd better elect one more person to plug the gap of the one that had left them. And so they elected this wonderful person called Matthias, about whom we hear nothing at all anywhere else in Scripture. But that's what they did. So we, in this liturgical year, are in this 10-day period of waiting. Of course, with other major festivals like Christmas, we very much anticipate it. We tend to end up celebrating it early, partly because so many people leave Prague for Christmas and go back to home countries. But we have carol services. We hear the readings preparing us for actually celebrating the incarnation at Christmas. And of course, with Easter, we have Palm Sunday and Holy Week to very much to prepare ourselves for the great celebration of Christ's resurrection. But the third most important festival in the Christian year is, of course, next Sunday, the Feast of Pentecost. And I would like to encourage you to, like the disciples, wait in expectation, but use this coming week to anticipate the celebration of Pentecost. And can I suggest to you to do that, to use today's collect, and of course the weekly bulletin which we print, we encourage you to take away with you, so you'll have the wording to use. Use it as your daily prayer this coming week. In particular, pray, we beseech you, leave us not comfortless, but send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us. I think that's something we can make our own prayer before we gather here again, as I hope many of you will, to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost next Sunday. But why, some may ask, do we need the Holy Spirit within us to be sent? Well, that second reading from the first letter of Peter two short sections, as John quite rightly clearly explained before reading it, part of chapter 4 and part of chapter 5 put together, written to a group of churches in present-day Western Turkey. Tell us why we need the Holy Spirit. They are, of course, words of encouragement for a church that was suffering persecution, or churches that were suffering persecution. Peter calls it a fiery ordeal. There is a call to cast all your anxiety on Christ, very much a call to faith and trust in what Christ has done. But there is also, most of all, the idea of being in a spiritual battle. And you get this lovely picture that the devil, your adversary, like a roaring lion, is prowling around looking for someone to devour. If any of you have been to Prague Zoo, which is a wonderful place to go, you'll see plenty of roaring lions very much wanting to do that if they're out and about in their open places in the zoo. Of course, you mention devil and you get various funny ideas. No, we're not talking about a funny creature with a forked tail carrying a three-pronged fork. Equally, pendulum swinging the other way, nor is it to be regarded as a primitive belief that needs to be dismissed. Because I believe the problem of evil, in reality of evil in our world, is a reality that we need to be aware of it. And the promise of the Holy Spirit within us, his power at work within us, is to strengthen us to resist that which is evil. The words of promise, of command in the baptism service is to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil, and continue as Christ's faithful soldier and servant to the end of your life. And so as we pray, as I hope you will this week, for the coming of the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, it is to enable us to live for Christ, live out our faith, and resist that which is wrong, that which is evil in our world. Pray, send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us. And having looked at two readings, let's also not ignore our gospel reading, finally. It is, of course, part of what is Jesus's, what is known as Jesus's high priestly prayer. And in one sense, you need to read all 26 verses rather than just the first 11, which are set as our gospel reading for today. Maybe that's something you can also go home and do yourselves at home. Jesus prays for the disciples, but also for all future believers, including, obviously, you and me. The whole prayer has what we might call a Trinitarian theme to it. What does Jesus say? That they may know that I came from you, that Jesus came from the Father. And of course, earlier, before this chapter, you have, our gospel reading last week, you have the promise of the Paraclete, the Advocate, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to come and be in the believers. Yes, there is the unity of the Trinity, which, yes, I shall also have to preach on in 2 weeks' time when we have Trinity Sunday, the Sunday after Pentecost. But the unity of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, should also mean the unity of the Church here on earth. For what does our reading end with? So that they may be one as we are one. So as Jesus says, he's one with the Father and is promising the coming Spirit. So may those who follow him, his church, be one, be united. For the gift of the Holy Spirit, of course, is the gift of a spirit of unity, not a spirit of division. And it's important that we work together, as I hope we do here, despite being of diverse nationalities and backgrounds, for unity within our own church and congregation here in Prague. But also, of course, disunity of the Christian church is one of the worst adverts for the Christian faith that there is. You know, how many times you've heard it said, if you lot can't agree with each other, why should we believe? I'm sure you've had it said to you a few times. I certainly have. Of course, Christian faith can be expressed in different ways. If you were to be here for the from 9:30, I'm sure our host congregation expressed their faith in a somewhat different way. And we need to learn from other traditions and enjoy the things that we do and can share together. But let us, as we pray for the coming of the Spirit, pray that he will be a spirit of unity within us as a congregation and within the wider church. So I commend you to you once again this collect set for the Sunday after Ascension Day, and invite you to pray it with me as I end my sermon this morning. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. We beseech you, leave us not comfortless, but send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to the place where our Saviour Christ is gone before, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.